Good morning, everybody. This is Annie for Showreel on your 3CR Community Radio. And today we're going to be looking at the Environmental Film Festival Australia's focus on Indigenous perspectives on climate, ecology, culture and custodianship with EFFA Presents Sovereign Cinema. And we've got Sonia Hammer here to tell us all about it. G'day, Sonia. How are you?
G'day. Yeah, kia ora. Great to have you here.
Yeah, great. So this is actually a fascinating approach because there's a lot of films out there, isn't there, with voice, giving voice to Indigenous people's views on what's going on in the world.
Yeah, true. There are a lot. And what we've decided to do is select a good selection of short films and one feature, which is made by, all these films are made by First Nations people, looking at climate justice, I guess, climate change, and how it's affecting themselves.
Well, there's a cross-section of films here that are not just Australian, but or so-called Australia, but also other people's voices from other places. And at 3CR, we're quite aware that the First Nations battle is an international battle, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. It's good to have a good cross-section of films from around the world. For example, we've got a couple of films from Sampi, or Sami People Nation, from Northern Europe, you know, parts of traditional parts of Norway and places like Sweden, which are still inhabited by Indigenous Sami people. So getting people who are Sami to make films that look at their experience as First Nations and how climate is and climate change is affecting them. Been great to get a couple of films as an example to show for the festival. So yes.
Well, it's interesting that in particular, that one in particular points out something about how these people are seeing the world in a completely different way.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. For example, the Sami one, which one of them is made by a Sami woman. And good Eelat, or good pasture, and it just talks about her own family and their experience of being animal husbandry to do with the reindeer, and they follow the reindeer and traditional methods of you know, hunting and animal husbandry, and just how climate affects them and COVID, and how that's also impacted them. In the last couple of years. So having that perspective is amazing, actually.
But it's also very personal, as the messages that are very personal but also have resounding larger messages involved, like the story Pilika Mo'o from... it really heart-rending. It talks about a large... settler-owned corporation destroys their familial burial grounds to make way for development, in inverted commas. That is so shocking.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing about that film too is, you know, getting those sorts of, stories from places like Hawaii, which is an occupied, country, sovereign country, for... the Kanaki Maoli people, the native Hawaiian people. But hearing that, you know, seeing that perspective is quite unique. And also it looks at how Hollywood and the Hollywood film versions of Hawaii has impacted them too, and losing their burial grounds, their sacred burial grounds, and what they have to do to try and rescue it, to reclaim it against a huge company. It's really Yeah, a lot of food for thought there.
Well, it's a very similar in a way to the Australian film Wabuda Bununu, Water Shield,
yeah,
in a sense, true. Isn't it?
Yeah. Wabuda Bununu, Water Shield, is amazing because it's actually, it's a film within a film, basically, too, which is really interesting. Like, it looks at a documentary that the people themselves made. The Aboriginal people, that community made years earlier, and looking at how water has been impacted from mining and how it still is impacted by them and what mining has done. And it's really interesting to see a young Aboriginal filmmaker taking up that mantle, you know, and pushing forward to, again, try to reclaim and try to protect his people's water and their songline, which is essentially, you know, such a important part of their culture.
That's a number of the shorts. There are other shorts as well. And there's this fascinating feature called The Scattering of Man. I don't know how to say that in language, but it's from Canada. Canada is actually turtle. What's the name of the indigenous name of Canada?
Well, the indigenous name of Canada, it really depends on what different tribe you're looking at, different nation. But I guess in general we call it that part of the world Turtle Island.
And yeah, I thought so, yeah.
Yeah, this is the debut feature, A Scattering of Man, by Sake Dene, or Dene, First Nation person, Luke Gleason. And just looking how, and again, it really does echo things that are experienced that are happening everywhere in the world. It has been happening everywhere. First Nations people looking at the development of a hydroelectric power project and how that's affecting his people in what's known as British Columbia in Canada. And just, the havoc that's been caused due to damming and just how that has taken away and so much land, traditional land, and the flooding that's affected them in that area. The Whakine, Dene people, and how it's displaced them so due to that. So I think, in general, really get a sense of happening in that microcosm, but it's happening in, or it has been happening, like I say, so many First Nations community.
Well, it's actually the placing together two mammoth mythologies, because the whole of the Western civilization's story is around the pretense that development and technology is the saviour, the only path.
Yeah, that's the issue there, isn't it? That colonisation somehow rescued people and rescued communities from, you know, from unsophisticated, or somehow rescued them from their own, destiny, really.
Yeah.
What we now know globally is that quite the opposite, really, and how colonisation, imperialism, have led to these disasters, these natural disasters in many cases, and the exclusion of First Nations people from having the right to, command and take hold of their own future.
Well, actually, that leads to the last two shorts, with Swimming Yesterday, Australia, from Australia, and Veins of Country, Australia. These talk directly to that issue.
Yes, true. The great thing is it's that amazing and the world's oldest known man-made structure, the Nuhu fishing trap. So in New South Wales. Incredible structure, incredible piece of culture, and food sovereignty in itself. And still being used today for fishing by communities there. So swimming used today is very personal, but also have that real sense of urgency about protecting the significant cultural structures that inherently are still vital and are still used by people. You know, that's a really important thing, is that it shows that there's that continuation, and that's something that I think we're still learning.
So, Sonia, how did you get involved in pulling this project together?
Well, look, I've been a volunteer because it is a volunteer, 100% volunteer organisation, IFA. So I've been a programmer, selector of films for IFA for a couple of years. And I myself am a First Nations person from Aotearoa. So for me, it was quite personal. I felt it was time we brought something together. Excuse me, I'm just going to cough.
Oh, that's okay. cough away. So the Sovereign Cinema is going to be Saturday, 10th of December. It's at ACME, and there's three different sessions that people can be part of. 3 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, we'll tell them the practicalities. 3 p.m. Sovereign Shorts, 5:10 p.m. Sovereign Shorts, 2, and then 7:20 p.m. is going to be the feature, The Scattering of Man. So you could go to all of them, or you could, and you can get a pass, and you can also go to individual sessions, depending on how pushed you are on that Saturday, on the 10th at ACME, right?
Correct, yep.
Mm-hmm. And, sorry?
Yeah, so from 3 p.m. on, the 10th of December.
That's right. And IFA will donate 5% of all ticket income to pay the rent, which if you want to pay the rent, you can go to www.paytherent.net.au. But get your tickets from ACME, right?
Excellent. Yep, just get on there. And, yes, we also would love people to come along and share their experiences too if they have them. We actually have a talanoa, which is like a speaking circle, around about 1 o'clock earlier in the day. But we'll certainly put more information online for that.
Okay.
So it'd be excellent for people to come along.
Thanks, Sonia. Thank you very much, and thanks for your work. Well, you know, that's what's good about doing things over the phone, especially in COVID times. Have a good day.